Welcome back. We are in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. Let's roll. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. Talking about Jesus right here. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. One long sentence. Look into it. All right, so, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all obey him. Who is this talking about? This is talking about Jesus. Having been perfected. Wait, I thought he was perfect. I thought he was sinless. I thought he was righteous. I thought he was God. Yes, fully man and fully God. Again, one of those things like free will and sovereignty, the answer is yes. Yes, there's free will. Yes, there's sovereignty. Yes, they coexist. How? He can explain to that to us in heaven. He'll have eternity to do that. Was he fully God? Yes. Was he fully man? Yes. How could he be both? He'll explain it further in heaven perfectly to us, I believe. But he was being perfected in the sense that he couldn't have done this from heaven, right? He needed to come down and be a sacrifice for us because he's the only one sinless. So he was the only one who had the qualifications to pay the penalty for our sin, to take the punishment upon himself. Someone who didn't deserve the punishment, taking on all of the punishment for all of those past, present, and future, and all the sins past, present, and future, all upon himself. That is what he did to become perfected. He suffered so that we can relate to him. He was persecuted and we can relate to him. He taught so we can see the example. We want to be the hands and the feet of Jesus, but through coming to earth, suffering, and dying on the cross and raising from the dead and all that, it was all part of that perfect picture of him being perfected. It says he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So he is the author of salvation. We want to remember that. He is the only one who offers salvation. He is the only one through whom we can have salvation. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people today who don't think they're sinners. They either don't believe in sin, or they think their sin is relatively good relative to someone who's is, in their mind, much worse, right? I'm better than that murderer in prison. I'm better than Stalin. I'm better than Hitler. I'm better than Osama bin Laden, and therefore, I will not get judged like that, and I'll just get a free pass. No, it doesn't work like that. You're not graded on a curve. You're not graded against other people. You're graded against perfection, which is God, right? So people think about a curve. They're like, well, if we're all in this boat and none of us are great, you know, he's going to usher in the top 30%. I'll be in there, whatever. No, you got to score 100, a perfect 100 in this life. And no one's done that because from the early ages when you started being greedy and selfish and lying and doing all that when you're 2 years old and 4 years old and 6 years old and 12 years old, you have sin. You're tainted with sin forever. You got to make 100 and you can't. So not only that, but you were born with sin. You inherited it. And so you can't get that 100. But Jesus is the one who's righteous and perfect. And we can get that 100 through him. He basically gives us his exam and says, hey, if you accept it, here you go. So he wrote this. He orchestrated it. He is the author. And it says he became the author. And again, having been perfected, he became. So, right? So, having come to earth, suffered, died on the cross, he became the author of salvation. That's the portal through which we get there. That is the narrow road that leads to eternal life and not the broad road that leads to destruction, right? Which most people are on, which I was on, which every single person listening to this podcast is either on right now because you haven't decided to get on the narrow road, or you at one point were on that road that leads to destruction, and you decided to get on the narrow road that leads to eternal life, and you invited Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, and you apologized to him, and you admitted your sin, and you asked him to come into your life and take over, right? Because everybody was there. No one is born saved. I don't care if your father or grandfather or everybody in your family was a pastor and a missionary or anything like that. None of that matters. It's what do you do with Jesus? He will never say, what did your ancestors do with Jesus? Were they Jesus lovers? Because if so, you know, I'll get you into the country club membership and you can kind of use it for a while, or we'll just get you in and let you use the premises. No, no, no. He's going to say, what did you say about Jesus? What did you do about Jesus? Did you declare him to be your Lord and Savior? Or did you dismiss him? All right. So it says he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Obey him. Kind of an interesting word that can throw some people off. Obey him. So I have to obey him in order to get to heaven. I thought I just had to have faith, right? Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." All right. So is it obedience or is it faith? And again, the answer is yes. Kind of like free will and sovereignty and fully God and fully man. Here we've got obedience and faith, right? I would not get too hung up on this word, but I'll just kind of walk around in some words here. You're obedient to him when you place your faith in him. And when you place your faith in him, you're being obedient to him. And then the rest of your life, your faith is going to be tested. God is going to test you. He is going to allow the demons to be part of that testing. And then the demons are just going to come along on their own and tempt you. God's not going to tempt you. He's going to test you. And he wants you to be refined. And he cares far more about your character than your comfort. And for the rest of your life, he's also going to ask for your obedience. He knows at times you're going to disobey. You are going to sin. You are going to go against him. You may even deny him at some point in time, as did Peter, right? And your friends around are like, "Hey, are you a Bible beater?" You're like, you know, I go to church. I'm not a Bible beater or whatever. Be bold. Be loving. Say what you need to say. Yes, I'm a Bible beater. Yes, I'm born again. Yes, I'm a Jesus follower. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Right? God says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. We want to obey him. And I can tell you this because I have lived essentially two lives. I have lived a life of kind of my own terms where I thought I was following Christ, but I really had one foot in things of God and one foot in things of the world. And my foot in the things of the world, I tended to lean on that more and kind of use God as a crutch or something when I really needed something, a job or money or pass a test or something. But I wasn't giving him my all. And it reflected. I had more stress and more anxiety, and it was more about me. Now that I'm following Christ, I have a lot more peace. I have a lot more joy. I have a lot more trust just knowing that, hey, no matter what happens, God is good, and I'm going to be in heaven with him forever. And he may take me there in 5 minutes. He may take me there in 50 years. But I want to enjoy the time that I have here on this earth. And I don't have to sweat the small stuff as much. Sometimes I do in my flesh, sadly, and God's like, "Hey, Mike, why are you stressed?" I'm thinking, well, it's because I'm focusing on myself, on inward. I'm focusing on my circumstances, like Peter when he walked on the water. He was great when he had his eyes on Jesus. As soon as he started focusing on the water and his circumstances, he started to sink. And that's like me, and it's probably like a lot of you out there. But we want to obey God, and we want to walk in obedience for the rest of our life, and we want to be faithful for the rest of our life. Yes, it's not going to get you into heaven because you already got there the moment you have eternity in your heart, and you have eternal salvation the moment you accept him as your Lord and Savior. But you're not going to be in heaven until you take your last breath on this earth. And it says, called by God as high priest. And this is talking about Jesus. We've talked about this, not only the high priest, but the great high priest, the only one ascribed to that title in the Bible. He is the last high priest. There is no high priest ever needed after Jesus because he is the ultimate and forever high priest. There should be no priests, anybody called priest on the earth today. Unfortunately, there are many religions that will use that term priest, and it is completely wrong and unbiblical. No one should be called a priest. And it says, according to the order of Melchizedek. One of my favorite words to say in the Bible. We'll talk a lot more about Melchizedek here in the next couple of verses and chapters. Now, I will say this, that many believe that Melchizedek was a Christophany, and that means an earlier appearance of Christ before he was incarnated in the earth in a human body. He made these, and I call them cameo appearances, like someone might make a cameo appearance on a TV show or movie or something. It was essentially like that, and a lot of people think that Melchizedek was a Christophany, an early appearance of Christ. And interesting, this word Melchizedek, the Mormons, unfortunately, have tried to hijack this office, the office, the order of Melchizedek, and they use it in an unbiblical sense, as they do with many things, right? They created books. They've got the Pearl of Great Price, the Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants. These are all three books that they added onto the Bible because they think the Bible is insufficient. It is completely wrong. God tells us in the Bible, he says, do not take away and do not add to this book. But Mormons try to appoint people still today saying that they're in the line of Melchizedek, right? Wrong. The only one who qualifies for the line of Melchizedek is Jesus. And there's not a single Mormon today that is sinless and righteous and perfect like Jesus. But Mormons believe that Jesus was a man just like them who became so good that he was awarded the God of his own planet. And each Mormon today is hoping that one day they'll be good enough that they'll be awarded their own planet and they'll be God of that planet. So that's exactly what Satan wanted. Satan wanted to become God, and that's what Mormons want. So be careful if you're a Mormon. I encourage you strongly to walk away from that false religion. And if you have any friends who are Mormons, then lovingly and boldly share the truth with them. And then verse 11, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. So we don't want to become dull of hearing. We want to be vibrant and great listeners and hear what God is telling us. And he is telling you so much through the Bible, his love letter. And he's telling you so much when you pray to him. He will start to change your heart. Prayer is not designed to change God's mind. It is designed to change your heart. Lord, thank you so much. Help us to love you today. Help us to understand how perfect and incredible you are. Help us not to be ashamed of the gospel. Help us to boldly and lovingly share you with people that we come across today. Help us not to sweat the small stuff and worry about earthly stuff, but set our mind on things above, on heavenly things, on incredible things. Lord, thank you for being perfect and sinless and yet dying for us and being willing to be humiliated for us, Lord. That is just so humbling, and help us to feel that way and to live that way. In your amazing name, Lord, amen.